Are you ready to rethink your relationship with alcohol? We have essential advice to better protect yourself and your loved ones from alcohol-related cancer risks. Here with the story, InfoTrack reporter Gina Tedesco. Gina?
Thanks, Chris. Joining us now is Sanjay Chatte, a PhD Deputy Division Head of Cancer Prevention and Population Sciences at the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center. Dr. Chatte, your study indicates that only about 40% of Americans actually realize that alcohol is a cancer risk. Do we have any idea as to why so few people know this?
I think part of the reason is that it's a culture. If you see that whenever we have parties, alcohol flows freely, it's considered part of the celebration. It's a part of our culture. And also historically, tobacco and cancer risk has been advertised, has been promoted nationally. On the other hand, alcohol is more talked in the context of drunk driving or liver damage, but it's rarely talked about as a national public policy as a cause for cancer.
And your study indicates that 39% of Americans are not aware of the connection between cancer and alcohol, and another 20% are not sure if they've ever heard about this link. So what does alcohol do to our bodies to make us more susceptible to developing cancer?
Alcohol actually causes cancer in multiple ways. One, it can damage DNA, proteins, and cells, so it can damage all of that. Also, it can increase the inflammation, and also alcohol can alter hormonal levels. So these are the few of the mechanistic way alcohol can cause cancer.
And so it can lead to, say, uncontrolled cell growth, is that right?
That's correct, yes.
And there are multiple types of cancer linked to alcohol use, aren't there?
Yes. There are 7 types of cancers that are linked with alcohol use, and they are breast cancer among men, colorectal cancer, liver cancer, and cancers in the mouth, voice box, throat, and the esophagus. So these are the 7 types of cancers that are shown to be associated with alcohol use.
How much more likely are people who drink alcohol to develop cancer? Is there a percentage figure?
It also depends on the amount. Some of the studies have shown that even low-level alcohol consumption can cause certain types of cancers. So the exact specific, you know, binge drinking versus drinking regularly, that kind of data is not available. Also, it's a combination of underlying genetic makeup of a person. As we all know that different people age differently. And so based on their background, other exposures, their genetics, all of that can modify the effect of alcohol on cancer.
And is it the sort of thing where if you also smoke, that the tobacco can make the alcohol more dangerous and the alcohol can make the tobacco more dangerous?
Yes. Those who smoke or those who drink also tend to smoke as well. And so there is a known interaction between the alcohol use and tobacco use as well. So they're not just simply adding together, but they're also interacting and causing even more harm.
And one of the most striking of your findings is that 30% of those in the study believe that cancer prevention is not possible. What would you say to people who believe that?
That is obviously not correct, because there was a recent paper showing that 2/3 of cancers can be prevented in this country. And that simply by take away entire tobacco use, reduce the obesity, reduce the alcohol use, and some other preventive measures such as vaccination, we could eliminate almost 2/3 of cancer. So it's unfortunate that almost 1/3 of the population thinks that cancer prevention is not possible. And that also calls for like in a more sustained effort that we need to do at the national level to increase people's awareness that a majority of cancers are preventable.
We're visiting with Sanjay Chatte of the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center. They are out now with a study finding that almost 60% of American adults are unaware or uncertain about the link between alcohol and cancer. The journal JAMA Oncology published the study. Doctor, according to my research, various studies estimate that worldwide, the alcoholic beverage market is valued at around $2 trillion, trillion with a T, and will grow to nearly $4 trillion by the year 2032. Do you believe we'll see a corresponding rise in cancer cases?
Definitely, yes. If you look at it, particularly after the pandemic, alcohol consumption has gone up. And almost now 70% of Americans are reporting that they have had alcohol beverages recently.
And alcohol consumption keeps rising, as you're pointing out, with retailers introducing so-called ready-to-drink hybrid beverages that contain attractive flavors. As a proponent of good health yourself, it's hard for healthcare providers to compete with these increasingly attractive drink offerings, isn't it?
Yes, that is true. And that's one of the things that is also seen in the tobacco side, you know, more flavored cigarettes. That way they can get the more people hooked onto this habit.
Now, do you ever wonder, Doctor, if the message drinker beware is actually reaching people just fine, but they simply just don't want to hear it?
Partly it is true, but I think that's where we need, as you saw that in January, the Surgeon General put out that we need to have more warning labels that clearly states, and there are visible labels more prominently placed telling users that the alcohol can cause cancer. And I think just like what other countries have done for tobacco, we need the depictions and the labels which are clear, more explicit, and those who are buying it, at least at that time, they can see those pictures, and at least unconsciously it will go in their mind that it's something is there as opposed to more attractive figures that we see currently.
What else do you feel should be done to get the word out more effectively?
Almost everyone goes one time or the other and visits their primary care health physicians. So I think we need to encourage the healthcare professionals to speak to their patients and communicate that information. So for example, when you go to your annual checkups, we do get asked about the tobacco use question, but we don't get a question asked about alcohol use. The trust on the healthcare professional is very high among the general population because everybody trusts their healthcare professionals. And so I think this is a really a missed opportunity that we need to have more assessment of alcohol use at the every healthcare visit. And also clinicians should be empowered to counsel patients to reduce or even eliminate their alcohol use.
And even though children are not supposed to drink, should there be modules in class anyway to let the children know, hey, this is not cool, you could get cancer?
Exactly. Just like what we have done in the tobacco field. And I think that's where we do need to measure. So in addition to, you know, the labels and clinicians talking to their patients, I think we do need major educational efforts because children can bring that message back to their home as well. So I think like, you know, schools and the general population, community events, and those are the things that we need to make major efforts to increase the individual's knowledge that this is a risk factor that you are not as much aware as we see the data.
And doctor, finally, if there are safe limits of alcohol intake for men and women, what would those limits be?
I think the more and more data is showing that there is no safe amount of alcohol that you can drink, because even used to be like, you know, the men can drink like certain number of beverages per day. It was one for female. However, more and more data and also the more clear guidance is coming that even the low level of alcohol can cause certain cancers. So the best strategy is not to have any alcohol drink.
Dr. Sanjay Chatte with the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center, thank you so much for sharing your information about alcohol and the cancer link.
Thank you.
For InfoTrack, I'm Gina Tedesco.
And that wraps up this week's show. InfoTrack's executive producer is Randy Meyer, and I'm Chris Witte. Thanks for listening. We hope you'll be here next week for another edition of InfoTrack.